All right. It's easy to wake up when they win like that, right? Let's go. Let's freaking go. I'm serious, though. I mean it. Let's go.
I mean, who doesn't like a Victory Monday to start the month of November? Welcome to Wake Up, Damon Bruce, Larry Kruger. It's great to have you here, 49ers fans. That was a business trip. You needed to handle business. Business got handled. That's really good. Now, the 49ers can never win a game without losing someone. And we'll talk about Mykel Williams and what everyone fears to be an ACL tear. I'm sure we'll get all the details in the handful of this afternoon's hours. But it is good to have you here. It is really good to see the 49ers 6-3. And Larry, I don't know how they come up with these things. Today is National Sandwich Day. Which brings me to my guy, Ike. I mean, what are you doing on National Sandwich Day? Get to Ike's, bring your sandwich to the Dubliner West Portal, have yourself a great Monday and a National Sandwich Day. And you know what, Larry, what also makes great sandwiches?
What's that?
Leftover barbecue. Can you help me in that regard?
Ooh. Yeah, check out Pig in a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Damon and Mary, not this Damon, Damon Stainbrook, the owner of Pig in a Pickle. He's a great guy. So's his wife, and they are the title sponsor of the Krug Show. They got two locations right now, but a third potentially on the way because we've been blowing them up. But check them out. They're in Corte Madera. They're in Corte Madera, and they're in Emeryville, and they're open 7 days a week, and they open at 11 a.m. So right when we're finished here, you can run over there and get some brisket chili. And tell them that Krug sent you. So thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. We're also brought to you by Sleeper all season long. We'll tell you more about them in a bit. And I do want to mention that I just ran into my other sponsor, Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles, this weekend. They're at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, on the Monterey Peninsula. The great Anthony Catania is a big-time Niner fan. He's at 831-521-5264. I bring them up today, Damon, because We flipped the clocks, right? But we also flipped kind of like the holiday calendar. We went from the Halloween mode in your neighborhood to all those decorations have got to come down. And now, believe it or not, people are getting into their pre-Christmas, pre-holiday deal.
I mean, we're just jumping right into Christmas, right past Thanksgiving, which I really don't endorse, but I mean,
we don't skip Thanksgiving, but but definitely you get the sense that in the retail world, they're thinking Christmas holiday. And I just want to let all you guys know, what is the best gift to give your sports fan, you know, dad, uncle, brother, son, mom, cousin, niece, nephew, whatever, a sports collectible. And this year at Sharp Corner Sports Collectibles, Sports Cards and Collectibles, Anthony Catania has got all these sports collectibles. He's including between now and the end of the calendar year, free shipping. Hey. So if there's a sports collectible that you want and it's $50, you pay $50. He pays your shipping throughout the month of the rest of November and all of December. So the great Anthony Catania is paying free shipping at Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles on all holiday sports collectible gifting. So give him a call. He's a great guy. It's a great place. Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles, once again, 831-521-5264. And the owner's Anthony, and he's a big Niner fan. So give him a call, and when you order anything and you want it shipped to Timbuktu, the shipping is on Anthony.
I mean, seriously, you almost want to start ordering things where the shipping costs more, so Anthony's doing this as a it's like a charity. No, but that's awesome. Everyone loves free shipping. Larry, I love sports collectibles, so I can't wait to see what you get me for Christmas this year, knowing that free shipping is available. Hey,
I know what I won't have to give you. I don't have to give you a duck costume because I know you already have one.
First of all, sir, that is a chicken. Get your foul identification where it needs to be. But
I couldn't make eye contact with it because of the beak.
And someone said, do you want to move the beak? I said, that's part of the look. Hey, you know, you got to be a great dad on Halloween. I hope you had a great time, whether you were a chicken, a naughty nurse, a naughty chicken. I hope you had a really good Halloween. And look, Larry, where do you even want to start here? Because this is a game which, again, got the Niners what they need, but unfortunately comes with the price tag that seems to be attached to every good moment that the 49ers put on the field. Micah Williams' injury, that one stinks. You know, should he be
out there more? At
that point in the game? What's that?
You said it in a way like there's more. I have not looked this morning as far as new injuries, but like we talked to Shanahan today at 3 something.
Right.
And Damon, I fully expect there to be somebody who's hurt who I had no idea of. I never saw got hurt. I watched the post game. I watched all the interviews. I never heard anybody reference him getting hurt. And yet there'll be somebody hurt today.
Right.
That wasn't on our radar yesterday.
The mystery. We've already identified the catastrophic injury. What will today's mystery injury be? We do not know. Not yet, anyways.
Oh, it's who's going to be hurt today?
Let's cook it up. You know what? Here's the deal, Larry. I think in order for us as people, as content creators, as the fans watching in the chat today, I think we all need to agree on something.
What's that?
We don't need to worry about injuries anymore. Just forget about it. It seems that they pretty much absorb all of them. So, you know, let's just not even worry about them anymore. Let's just expect everyone to be injured at all times. And then when someone's healthy, that's the good news. So seriously, here's what stinks.
Someday I want to grow up and I want to have lousy player durability. That's what I'd like to have. I kind of feel like maybe that's why I've been healthy throughout life. I'm just so lousy at life that I'm often healthy just because, you know what? Nobody ever gets hurt when you're crap. You only get hurt when you're good.
Based on the success of your YouTube channel alone, you should be in traction right now, Larry. You should be like upside down in a head halo. They should be grafting new skin on you at all times. I mean, it is amazing. It is amazing how the injury bug only seems to bite the elite on this team. We can't have just a, you know, league average injury. It's got to be someone who is either at the dawn of a career or in the middle of a Hall of Fame career. And that does suck. But here's the deal. The bad news for Michael Williams is if it's not an ACL tear, we're going to be surprised. If we get good news on this injury today, that'll be fantastic. And then all of this is off the table and we'll see you soon again, Michael, we hope. But if his year is over, that absolutely retards the development of his rookie season. It is not good for him. Overall, it's not good for the team to already stretch the limits of the depth chart at that particular position, defensive end. I mean, the 49ers go through them like Spinal Tap goes through drummers right now. The truth is, though, the Niners might get a little better in the short term with this injury because I think that Sam Aquinu and Cleveland Farrell need more snaps, and they probably need more snaps over Michael Williams. Michael Williams was going to get those snaps based on the investment and what you're trying to get out of him in his rookie season and grow into an NFL career. But more Sam Aquinu. I'm trying to put the silver lining on this.
I can't go with you on this one. Okay, all right. There's an old saying, the moral advantages of losing have been greatly exaggerated.
You know, there's no doubt about it.
The moral advantages of losing players to injury has also been greatly exaggerated, but I hear you. We're trying to be positive on a Monday, but it's not a positive. But it's not a season. I mean, first of all, we don't know.
Welcome back, Cleveland.
Well, first of all, we don't know exactly about Mikel. Who knows? Maybe the testing's wrong and he didn't tear the ACL. Who knows? I'll say this. It didn't look like the buckling that you normally see of an ACL. It didn't look like that. It looked to me almost more like just an incredibly bad like bone bruise because he just slammed it into the turf. But who knows? I mean, anytime there's an impact like that, there could be some kind of
tear. I hope he got what Ricky Pearsall's dealing with, right?
Right. Or, yeah, I mean, maybe it's just a very painful bone bruise. Doesn't mean he's not out a month. I mean, he'd probably still be out a month, but he wouldn't be out for the year. So we'll see. We'll cross our fingers. But this is a crushing loss for the Niners again. Why? Not that Michael Williams is that great, but it's how many snaps he's been playing. He's been playing a ton of snaps. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's really strong, even though he's not necessarily, the best, most advanced pass rusher. He's doing a lot of positive things out there, and I think they're going to miss him significantly. So it's a loss for sure.
It stinks.
Like one step forward, two steps back. Kind of
right. It stinks for a rookie year where you're learning the league. You know, if you want to be really good in your sophomore year, learn a lot your rookie year. It's just a developmental setback. But again, maybe a few of his developmental, not exactly affecting the game snaps, will now be going to Sam Aquinu, will now be going to Cleland Farrell. And I see those guys playing some more affecting the game that is happening right now snaps than Mykel Williams has played this year. So again, I think there's a little maybe on-field production boost that might appear here, but only, again, for a handful of snaps a game. You'd much rather have the player. That goes without saying.
Yeah, and who's to say that those guys will play that well if you take another key cog out of there that's absorbing other snaps? So, I mean, they need help. They need help on the front. But I agree with you. Cleland Farrell played very, very well, and it didn't really surprise me. I told you throughout the week, I thought he looked really, really good at practice. He knows how to play. He's got a motor. He's always had a motor. He's always been good against the run. The downside of Cleve Farrell is just he's not worth being the top four pick in the draft that Mike Mayock made him coming out of Clemson. But you know what? That's years ago at this point. And now it's just about, hey, what is he? What can he contribute? And what he can contribute is he knows how to play. He's got a little bit of that JYD in him, you know, a little junkyard dog. And he's got a motor. He's tough. He's always been good to leverage the run. He understands how to play the run. And he hustles on the back end, backside. You know, you saw him on a couple plays, including one of the first plays. You know, he's playing right defensive end. The place goes to the left. And, you know, the running back starts dancing a little bit on the sidelines. And Klee's over there finishing it up as the right defensive end on the left sideline. So he's made of the right stuff. He fits their culture. He plays really hard, and he'll help.
Welcome back.
I don't know if he's the answer, but he's going to help.
Again, I don't know if they're going to have any real answers in any game defensively. It's going to be bend, don't break, take what you get. Hopefully you get through this.
Right.
Hopefully you get off the field on third down. I mean, that's what the Niners have this year. Just try to get off the field on third and long. That's the best shot you got to help win a game defensively. I don't think they're going to have, we're out here changing the game level defense really available for them. Just keep other teams honest. And then go ahead and score 30-something points, which this offense did for the first time in what feels like a long time. And it was, you know, was that them? Was that Spencer Burford? Was that the New York Giants being a bad football team, which they are? There's some good talent being surrounded by a bad football team in New York. So what did we really learn? Guess what? Not much. But you're exactly where you need to be. Like I said last week in Houston, burn the tape. I really don't think there's a lot to learn there. I don't think the Giants are a measuring stick of what you are or aren't. So just be 6-3 at the end of that game, because that's what you need to be. And that's what they are. And that's a really good thing, given what has happened to this football team all football season long. 6-3. Kyle makes me want to pull my hair out 3 times a game. He's a coach of the year candidate. There's no doubt about that right now. And let me just say that Christian McCaffrey is one of the single greatest football players you're ever going to watch with your own two eyes in your entire life. You want to talk about like tough, you want to talk about motor. Who's got a tougher motor in this league than this guy? Whether he goes for 10 yards or he gets buried behind the line of scrimmage, it is the same effort every single play. He is a battering ram. He is a finesse piece. He is everything you could ever want in a versatile running back, to the point where he's probably the best versatile running back in the history of football now. 106 yards on 28 carries, 5 catches, 67 yards, a touchdown on the ground, a touchdown in the air. He now has more "I caught one, I ran one in" games than any other running back in football history. He passed Marshall Faulk with his 16th career caught one, ran one in touchdown game. The guy is unbelievable. He is as talented a football player you'll ever watch in your life. Christian McCaffrey is as in the center of what the 49ers are doing now as Jerry Rice was in the center of what they were doing then. He is their everything.
I mean, at least, you know, take him out before you, you know, take him out and buy him dinner at least first before you give him that much love.
Dude.
I would say this. Incredible. He's a great player. Let's have a real discussion about him, though. What the fuck are they doing using him in the fourth quarter up 10 against a crappy team to put away the game? I agree with you. And I think the Niners agree with you. I think everybody fucking listening agrees with you. But if he's so damn valuable, then maybe he would be considered, I don't know, invaluable. So maybe you shouldn't be using him when you're up 10, putting away the game.
On a field in your history, on a field with an injury history, on a day where you already lost a player, maybe for the season already. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, I mean, sometimes I, you know, it's like the 49ers are a million times smarter than you or I. Okay. I agree with that, right? Because that's their job. Their job is to play football. Their job is to scout football. Their job is to coach football. They should be better at their job than us who, in our diversion, observe football. Okay. So nobody's arguing that we know more than the Niners. But what are you doing running your invaluable running back in garbage time to put away the game? Everybody knows that the worst runs that a running back can get. If you said, hey, we got a brand new running back, let's gauge his success. Oh, I've got an idea. Let's wait until we're up 14 points in the fourth quarter and we'll run him then. And then, of course, the answer would be like, no, let's not do that because we'll be running him into a brick wall because everybody at that point knows we're going to run the ball. Those are the hardest runs of the game. You're almost used as an offensive sacrificial lamb to make them burn timeouts and to run the clock.
It's demolition derby at that point.
You're not even expecting it's when the Niners run any back on first and second down in the fourth quarter up 10, Shanahan does not care of what yards per carry they get in a multiple score game. Doesn't care. If I asked him today, hey, Christian, on those last four or five carries, got like 1.7 yards per carry, he'd be like, Krug, what are you, losing your mind? Of course he got 1.7 yards per carry. Everybody and their brother in the stadium knew we were going to run it, and we just ran it anyway. That's why you don't use Christian there.
Right.
That's what, because he is so valuable, and that's why you had Elijah Mitchell, and that's why you have Brian Robinson. And guess what? If Garendo's active, run him there. Well, run him there. Here's the reality is you can get your running back out for the year with an injury on any carry in the game. So heck, Bryce Huff 2 weeks ago suffered an injury on like the last play of the game. Get McCaffrey off the field when the game is decided. How difficult is that to understand? If they have to go find another running back, if they've got to cut Garendo, if they've got to unearth somebody off somebody's goddamn practice squad, run me, run Larry, Damon, Larry, run Larry. Anybody not named Christian McCaffrey.
Larry, you're way off base. In Kyle's defense, Brian Robinson Jr. was only averaging 10.6 yards per carry.
He's probably too valuable for these carries, to be completely honest. Find a third back. You made Garendo active. Run him here. If he fumbles, nobody loses. Nobody cares. It's not a big deal. Run your backup running back. My God, is it that hard? I mean, Shanahan understands the concept. He has gone in Super Bowl years where they've actually had a really good team. McCaffrey in the first half. When you get a big lead in the second half, here comes Elijah Mitchell. Why? Because Elijah Mitchell doesn't fumble, and he'll just take whatever's blocked for him. Right, that's Jeff, the ideal guy. Get him off Kansas City's bench or practice squad right now. Offer a conditional seventh-round pick swap or whatever. And it sounds like nothing. It's not important. Oh, it's secondary. We need this and that. No. What you don't need is you don't need to lose Christian. Because if you lose Christian, we're probably at game over. Would we agree?
Probably. There's no probably. If Christian McCaffrey were to go down, I'd think that it's not unreasonable to say the Niners only win two more games this season.
So why are they running him in the fourth quarter up 10 points?
I don't know. It's not even like fourth quarter up 10. You got 15 minutes to play. No, we're under 4 minutes to play, and I think they're out of timeouts. Like, this is your only biding time between now and victory formation. And Brian Robinson Jr. has shown up to play today. Again, that's the best day that Brian Robinson Jr. has had in a 49ers uniform. And it wasn't just because he ran through a guy on the way to an 18-yard touchdown. All of his runs were effective. Use the other guy other than the only guy who is the only reason why all of you still have your fucking jobs. Seriously.
Man, I don't get it. I mean, Garendo's active. He's active. I didn't see him in the inactive list. That means he's active, right?
It's
Garendo's active. So run him there. I mean, and it's so aggravating because people want to say, oh, you know what? You guys, anybody can play Monday morning quarterback. I'm not playing Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah.
The running back did not get hurt. This is not a knee-jerk reaction to something that happened. This is an obvious, it's an obvious thing that, I mean, it's that kind of, those kinds of moves are the kinds of moves that get you fired. If you wind up, if they lose Christian McCaffrey on the last play of the game for the year, in a game you're up 10, you're getting absolutely all of the blame and you deserve it.
Well, yeah. I mean, what would you say it is you do here? Like, are you trying to win the Super
Bowl? You deserve the blame.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what? I took my Bentley out on the Great Highway and I drove it down onto Ocean Beach and I got all kinds of sand in the engine and it cost me thousands. You're a damn fool, right? So, I mean, they're damn fools for putting him out there like that. And if it cost them their year, you know, you guys, the fans, and probably a lot of us, the media, would absolutely roast them, and they would deserve it all the way through. They should just wear it, take it, own it, wrap themselves in it. I'm bringing it up this week, man. I'm bringing it up this week. I cannot watch this anymore. He had a finishing back. You have multiple backs. You traded significant draft capital to get a significant backup running back because you felt the need to have one. And then you're up 10 in the fourth quarter on a terrible turf in a game that doesn't matter, and you're still running your superstar back that's irreplaceable? What are you doing?
And you reach and draft a running back every year that you immediately deem not good enough to play. Oh, by the way, stop giving the ball to freaking Kyle Juszczyk. That'll be another segment in this show. Christian McCaffrey touched the ball 33 times in that game yesterday. That is tied for the fifth most touches in a single game in franchise history. I mean, and he has been touching the ball on
Let's see what he's projected for.
He's on pace.
Whoa.
For, I believe now, like nearly 500 touches, Larry.
He's projected, Damon, for 317 carries and 115 receptions. 432 touch pace.
Well, and that's CMC. The thing. And if he's on pace for that, we all know that Kyle is going to outpace that, right? I mean, yesterday was an absolute indicator of what you think when you get lost in the fog of war. And maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe Kyle does have this idea like, yeah, we're going to get McCaffrey out of the game, but then he gets just lost in the fog of war and he forgets to do it or doesn't realize this is the right moment to do it. It's hard to explain. It's hard to understand. And for a guy who literally has been denied the ultimate success in this sport, mostly around the topic of injuries, like the 49ers' biggest rival is injuries, not another football team. The 49ers' biggest rival is injuries. Injuries are so kicking your ass. You'd think you'd take some notes, Kyle. You'd think you'd take some notes. How do we finally beat this injury guy?
Here's what I don't get, Damon. You're playing this bad team, right? The New York Giants are bad. Last week, they gave up 271 rush yards. It's the worst. You went from the best defense last week against the Texans to the worst defense in the league this week. So you're going up against the worst defense, a defense that Philly ran for almost three bills, as I said, and over 10 yards a carry with two backs going for 100. Okay, so you got your backs out there. This would have been the perfect, if you don't trust Garendo, then put him on the practice squad and promote Sincere McCormick. Sincere McCormick is a legitimate NFL running back who can run between the tackles. In a game like this where you probably think, you know what, we can beat this team and we may be able to beat them significantly, and you know you're going to have like a 40-run kind of a game because you know they're so bad against the run, why wouldn't you activate Jordan James or Sincere McCormick for Isaac Garendo, who you obviously don't trust, and run them at the end of the game. You could take a look at James. You could take a look at McCormick. You know, you can, and most importantly, you would take that off of CMC. We can move on to a different topic because I'm tired of this topic. But come on, man. I mean, come on, Shanahan. I mean, I can't sit there and back you as much as I want like to back you if you're doing stuff like this that is indefensible.
How about this?
No way to defend this. Oh, you know, we want to get no. Oh, we thought no. None of the reasons that they could possibly give are as good as my reasons for why you shouldn't do it.
Right. It would make more sense. It would be easier to explain to me why you're giving Eddie Pinheiro carries than it is Christian McCaffrey carries in that moment. I'd rather you activate CJ West, make him a kneel down running back, and let him take those carries than Christian McCaffrey.
I mean like, Christian McCaffrey would be like if you bought like $300 dress shoes. You bought Allen Edmonds. You got these $300 dress shoes that are just awesome for all your dressy occasions.
Right.
But then you love them so much that you wore them jogging around Lake Merced.
You wore them to outside lands.
Yeah.
Great job, everybody.
You just wore your $300 Allen Edmonds on a run. It's just so ridiculous.
By the way,
let's hit a different topic.
Not that Kyle can defend this, but I think Andre here might have the best defense. I just saw this come in. He writes this. Kyle doesn't forget. He's still seeing ghosts from that Brady comeback in the Super Bowl. Maybe that is it. Like when we get into the psychological makeup, the psychological profile of the coach that is this man, Kyle Shanahan, maybe that's a huge part of it.
He didn't even coach that team, by the way.
I know,
he was the OC on that team.
I know.
I like how we just give the head coach just a total pass.
Never in the history of sports has a coordinator been more responsible for success or failure than Kyle was in that Super Bowl. It's very, very unique. There's no doubt about that.
Seriously.
But maybe, I mean, as we're putting together the psychological profile here, maybe that is it. Maybe that is his coaching childhood trauma that keeps McCaffrey in the game that is far into the win column, really nothing left to fight for today. Having said all that, we're not complaining about wins. Great game out of Christian McCaffrey. The guy is everything that you could possibly want in a football player. He is outstanding. Again, Brian Robinson Jr. had a really good day. I don't know if this is Spencer Burford being back in this line. Colton McKivitt.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe.
It's had another rough one. It's certainly sometimes, man.
Burford had a rough day, too. I mean, yeah. if you go back and watch, I went, you know, since it was a morning game, I had plenty of time to go back and watch the game again. And I did. And Burford just got beat like a drum on like three or four different reps. So I don't, you know, once again. You know, it's not like, you know, if he were the answer, he probably would have been in there earlier. You know, he's not the answer. He's just a guy. Is he better than Colby?
Right.
He's probably roughly the same. I mean, one's a six, one's a five. Who knows? I mean, believe me, if you're walking around town today going Burford was the key, you're a fool.
No, that's not it. That's not it. But we have gone 28 minutes into this show. And by the way, if you're watching this show, no matter where you're watching this show, either over on The Krug Show or on Damon Bruce Plus, please hit like and subscribe. That just pushes the show into the algorithm and makes good things happen. Like, subscribe, chat, interact with the show. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much to Mac Jones for being here. I mean, this guy saved the bacon of this season, man. He is unbelievably good at what he does. And the only time you see Mac Jones get into anything that looks like this throw could be trouble, it's someone else's fault. He's got a defensive end chirping at his elbow. He's got a guy right at the tips of his kneecaps. He is, you know, the pocket's falling, collapsing in on him, and something then might go wrong. If he's got a clean pocket, he's got a completion for you. And yesterday, his 14 completions to begin the game tied Steve Young for the fourth most completions to begin a game by a 49ers quarterback since 1978. So Mac Jones came out on one. Okay, no Ricky Pearsall, no one who's going to a Pro Bowl without a plane ticket anywhere on this receiving core. Kittle, God bless him, he's hardly involved in the passing game. So it's not like you're throwing to some Hall of Fame tight end who's just going to pad your stats. He's throwing to, I don't want to say bums, but he's throwing to the other guys, just NFL dudes, and he's looking really good. 19 to 24, 235 yards, two touchdowns. You thought it was an interception. It wasn't. It was a fumble in that game. I thought they were going to rule that an interception. Either way, Mac Jones. Larry, he's been fantastic. What more do you need to say? I don't want to start.
He looks really sharp.
Anybody? He looks great.
He was 5-2 filling in for Purdy. He went 6-for-6 on the first drive, that 12-play, 68-yard drive. Then he went 4-for-4 on the second drive where he found JJ for the touchdown. JJ sprinted to the pylon. Yeah, I mean, Mac was really, really good. And I'll say this. I mean, there's a lot of people back and forth, you know, Brock and Mac and Mac and Brock. You know, Mac did it all in this game. I mean, the beautiful pass to Kittle in the flat for 11 yards. He was 11 for 11. Then he goes to Jennings for 20 yards on a slant. He's 12 for 12. He scrambled for a yard to avoid a sack in the backfield, a negative play. I mean, he made so many really, really good plays. Just got to credit Mac Jones. And I'll say this, you know, people say, Kruger, where are you on the Mac Jones Purdy thing? I've got it very clear and I don't change, which is, I think Brock is the better player. I think they both can process. I think they're both really smart quarterbacks who see the field. I think Brock, because of his movement ability when fully healthy, you know, he has Mahomes' escapability. Where Mac Jones has Tom Brady's escapability. So, you know, there's no question that Brock's got an element to his game that when he's totally healthy, I think makes him, you know, he's definitely better than Mac Jones.
Sneaky athleticism that just Mac does not have.
Yeah, and they have a lot of the same traits, but Brock has that trait that Mac doesn't have. And I think, and Brock's really icy competitive. Not that Mac isn't, but I Brock's a rare competitor. So I think I would give Brock the edge, but with this toe injury, and I was trying to explain this to my wife, it's the damnedest thing. It really is, because this toe injury, even though it's just pain around the joint in your big toe, and it seems so like nothing, but it really does impact his accuracy, his arm strength, and his escapability and mobility. And that changes the Brock Purdy equation. The Brock Purdy that's got the turf toe is not as good as Mac Jones. And Mac Jones should play is you know, as long as Mac Jones is winning, Mac Jones should continue to play because Brock Purdy's got this turf toe and he's not going to not have the turf toe. At any point this year, Shanahan basically said it yesterday.
Right.
He's going to have the turf toe.
I thought ride
Mac Jones. That's what I would do. I would ride Mac Jones and I would definitely, I mean, there's no reason to put Brock Purdy out there in right now. There's just no reason at all.
I thought
you were winning games. You've got Mac Jones. Keep riding it and then ride with Mac Jones through the bye week. And then that gives Brock Purdy more than enough time to get healthy. Shanahan said it yesterday, though. He's never really going to get healthy this year.
I thought you were wrong on Friday when you said rest him to the bye week. But now thinking about it and just watching the evaluation of what Mac Jones is, and then, again, Shanahan sort of tipped his hand yesterday. Well, Brock might not be ready to go really 100% at any point in time this week. Then definitely sit him to the bye week. Now you just asked to buy time. Now you're begging for time to buy. If you don't think that he's going to get better at any point in time this year, all the way to 100%, then holy shit, no more limited practice. Sit him down to the bye week, then get him back up to speed in the bye week and reevaluate then.
I mean, look at it this way. I think you have to think the Niners are thinking one way, Damon. They're thinking what's best for Brock, what's best for Brock. But I think they need to pivot off that, even though they paid him. And say what's best for Brock and what's best for Mac. So what's best for both of them? I think it's best for both of them to play Mac as the starter through the bye week. At the bye week, if Purdy's toe at that point should be 12 weeks, should be very quieted down. Brock goes into his spot as the starter. You have 4 games to finish the year. And then we'll play it from there. Brock's the guy until he can't go. And when he can't go, then that's when Jones is the guy the rest of the way. And then that would give Jones, Damon, the experience of a long run. And then it would give him in December, a crucial time, a chance to catch his physical breath, watch Brock do his thing, maybe in some games that mean something, maybe in some games that don't mean anything. But then if Brock can't make it through, you go back to Jones. He's had the experience of the season. He's had a three, 4 weeks to kind of to regain his energy, his focus, his drive. And now you reinsert him either week 17 or playoff time and go from there. That's how I would play my hand, because the idea that, like, if you go to Brock right now, like, what do you, if you said to the Niners fans, what game do you can only have Brock for 3 games. What games do you want? Oh, I know exactly what games I want. Super Bowl Sunday, the NFC Championship game, and the divisional round playoffs. Those are the 3 games I want for Brock Purdy. Okay. Well, if you play him right now, what are the odds that he gets there? Probably not very good. But if you wait till the bye week, the odds that he gets there are better. Still not a lock, but there's a you're improving your odds. So that's what I would do, especially because I think, Damon, that there's a reason coaches don't like to go from the number one guy to the number two to the number one to the number two, because there's instability with your football team and too many unknowns there, and it upsets everything and you don't get into a rhythm. So I don't think they want to go this week Brock, this week Mac, this week
no,
Brock.
No, you don't want to go Mac. Back and forth. It's not supposed to be back a revolving door. It's, you know,
it won't, and that won't help. Way. That won't be good. So just through the bye week, Mac, at the bye week, Brock, you ready? And if he's ready, boom, throw him out there. It's 4 games, perfect sample size. And if he doesn't have a recurrence of the turf toe, then that's a perfect rhythm getting amount of time for the playoffs. Well, and then now you got a healthy quarterback in rhythm.
You said, let's look at this from, you know, the Niners are looking at it from what's best for Brock. They got to be a little more selfish. What's best for us? I want to look at this as what's best for Mac. Let me take it from this approach. Because if I'm Mac Jones's agent, I'm laying down certain scenarios here. Single best case scenario, Brock is too hurt to play again. You take the Niners the whole way through. You're a Super Bowl champion. Holy shit. That's the greatest scenario there is.
Well, let's talk about that for just a quick second. Okay. In that scenario, in my mind, I don't know about you, but in my mind, Mac then takes Brock's job away from Brock, and Brock goes on the trade market.
Oh, bro, you look at this.
If Mac Jones wins the Super Bowl in a Niner uniform, I don't think it sounds controversial today, but if you really picture, hey, you know, that all happening, if it actually happened, you know, I think Niner fans would have an amazing offseason. Could you imagine our channels if the Niners went into a full bore Steve Young, Joe Montana 2.0 situation at quarterback?
Larry, are you trading Brock? Are you trading Brock Purdy to the Dolphins or the Commanders because of the relationships with Mike McDaniels or Adam Peters? I mean, how do you want to do this?
Be fired by then.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Okay. So that's best case scenario for Mac Jones.
That would be amazing. Where would you trade Brock Purdy to if the Niners won the Super Bowl with Mac Jones? I mean, let's have a conversation 3 months ahead of time. I mean, people would lose their minds.
Would you like to really put the cart before the horse? Welcome to today's show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in fact, we date the show instead of dating the show November 3rd. We date the show March 3rd. A month ago, Mac Jones won you guys the Super Bowl. All right. Where should they trade Brock Purdy to? Oh, my God. I mean, it could happen, and I'm not rooting for it. I mean, I am rooting for it because I'm rooting for the Super Bowl, but I'm not rooting for Mac over Brock. I just told you, I think Brock's better. But I also am not naive, and I don't think you guys should be either. Whoever gets that ring is going to be the guy.
All right, Larry, get out of your fever dream. Second best scenario right here is Mac takes them to the bye week, plays great, Brock comes back, and then does whatever Brock does from that point on. And the only thing we're left with Mac Jones isn't any element of playoff failure or regular season disappointment. he was just the arc that saved the entire season. They Mac Jones literally gathered the Niners two by two, put them on the arc, and he got them into the playoff. He's the Moses of this season, and we have nothing but good memories left because our last impression wasn't a bad impression of him playing poorly in the playoffs or losing a big game, and that's all on Brock now, and nothing but warm and fuzzy memories remain of Mac Jones, and he takes that into a year where the Niners are thinking, do we trade him? He's under contract for one more year. He's a valuable asset. We got teams throwing second round picks at us for him. That's the best. That's the second best scenario. Leaving a little bit of mystery as to what you might have done while the other guy failed is also good for you. It really is. It would be good for Max offseason. Now, let's just take this all the way to what's the worst case scenario? Can you imagine if after all the, like, just the debate of how do you guys evaluate quarterbacks? How'd you get to Trey Lance over Mac Jones to begin with? Could you imagine if 3 years from now, Sam Darnold is kicking ass as a starting quarterback, Mac Jones is in another market kicking ass as quarterback, and the 49ers are then left with Brock Purdy, who 3 years from now isn't as good as Sam Darnold or Mac Jones? That is the holy shit DEFCON 1. You want content creation? Here you go.
I don't know. I think you're already ignoring the bigger story, which is in the last 2 years, Kyle Shanahan has been the reclamation godfather for both Darnold and Mac Jones. So guess what? Every quarterback that doesn't work out is basically Kyle's going to have his pick of. You want Anthony Richardson? You want this guy? You want that guy? You want this guy that bombed? You want that guy that bombed? They're all going to want to play here. So I kind of think that Shanahan has done himself, very well by what's happened, by his connection to Darnold and now his connection to Jones. I think Shanahan is, I don't want to say he's a made man, but he's as close to a made man as you get without winning the ultimate prize.
Shanahan gets guys paid. Full stop. Every position across the board, whether you're Laken Tomlinson, whether you are Sam Darnold, whether you are Mike McDaniel, if you shake Kyle Shanahan's hand, you're going to get promoted at some point. Like, it's just, it happens. This guy is someone who has a reputation for rebuilding coach careers, players' careers. This is where Kyle still has an awful lot of, capital in this league that fans really don't think about because they're only measuring capital as Super Bowl, you have capital, no Super Bowl, you have no capital. So Shanahan is an important piece in terms of guys just want to come play for him. He is that guy. But no man, could you imagine if at the end of it, he had all three of these guys, he's now passed on Sam Darnold and he had him. He passed on Mac Jones twice, once in the draft, and then once he came and saved your 2025 season. And you're left with Brock, who 2-3 years from now is definitely easy to identify the worst of the three, if that were to happen. If that were to play out.
And let's not, well,
if that were to play out, we're going to hear an awful lot from Grant Cohn that day, okay?
We're being too much creatures to the moment. Sam Darnold had an amazing performance last night.
Right.
In the first half. Jones had an amazing performance, but What do those guys have in common? They haven't done any of the stuff that Brock Purdy's done. They haven't won an NFC championship game. They haven't come from 24 back in the second half to do so. They didn't play, they didn't play Mahomes pretty much straight up in the Super Bowl. So I hear you. There was nice day for Jones, nice day for Darnold, but let's not lose our minds. One other thing that I have to mention here, because it's just, one, it's an amazing transformation. We talked about it and we thought, man, what if this is an amazing transformation? But now it's official. It is an amazing transformation. And that is the Niners with Jake Moody to the Niners with Eddie Pinheiro. Pinheiro again. Pinheiro is just absolutely amazing right now. He made a 54-yard field goal that he kept really low. He's 18 for 18 on field goals with the 49ers. They had a guy who they didn't trust to make one from 25. Now they have a guy that they assume is going to make everything inside of 55. It's a great turnaround. It's a great transformation. And we did see some improvement from the Niners special teams, but you knew there was a big old butt coming here. Oh my God, the 49ers on special teams still do some of the most ridiculous things. Sky Moore, 2:15 left in the first quarter. Okay. Sky Moore's decision to not catch the punt at the 13-yard line was a bad decision.
Okay? What's he doing?
Not only does, you know, it's a real basic play. You're standing there on the 13-yard line and they punt it to you. All you've got to do is fair catch it at the 13 and that's it. Instead, or there's two things you can do. You can fair catch it at the 13-yard line. You motion for the fair catch. You circle around it. You don't juggle it. You catch it cleanly. That's your first thing that you can do. The second thing you can do is get the freak away from it. Get the freak away from it. Why? Because the football is not round. The football is oblong and bounces in funny ways. That's why you stay away from it. You call for the fair catch and you catch it. Instead, he lets it hit 3 or 4 feet away from him. It easily could have hit him in the leg and been a costly turnover deep in 49er territory, by the way. Instead, he lucks out. It doesn't hit him. But luckily it rolls into the corner of the end zone for a touchback, but it easily could have been downed on the 1 yard line, which is also kind of like a wasted series. It's like, my goodness. I mean, how bad can the Niners be on special teams consistently? It's like,
if Brian
basic play, call for the fair catch and catch it or get out of the way. He didn't do either. And he lucked out because it went into the end zone and nobody's going to talk about it today because it wasn't downed on the one and it wasn't a turnover deep inside the Niner territory, but it could have been. And that Sky kind Moore, of ridiculously yeah. dumb, special teams play has to end.
Sky Moore had a decent play from scrimmage, so we'll give him that. But what I don't understand is how come Brian Robinson Jr. now seems to be having some success on special teams, but he hasn't been given punt return as well. Is
punt return, they're quite a bit different.
I understand that they are different.
They're positions. Very different.
They're very different. Position. It's a different ask, but how much different? And my ask, I guess my response to any special teams coach who wants to tell me that the nuances between these two positions are so great, I'd be like, well, isn't the fact that this one guy's a better player who seems to make better decisions, doesn't that close the gap in whatever nuances you might be worried about?
I just think that more than anything, you just have to. I mean, I don't think Brian Robinson's a punt returner. I think he's more of a kick returner. But more beyond Brian Robinson for a second.
Why are we saying that Sky Moore is a punt returner, I guess would be my point. What has he done to definitively prove that there's nobody on this team who could do a better job at that job than he?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that he's doing a bad job on the returns. He's not. He's tough as hell. He will take it up in there pretty fast. He's aggressive. There's several things I like about him, but it's like, we got to get this organized in our mind. There's a yard line if it's inside the 20, between the 20 and the 10, I'm going to catch it.
Right.
Okay. There's gotta be a yard line that you get to. That you're like, if it goes over my head at this yard line, I'm letting it go and I'm getting away from it. But to not get away from the punt was just unbelievable. And then to watch that thing hit wildly and it went away from him and into the end zone and barely got in. Oh, my God. I mean, the Niners dodged 2 major bullets there. And it's all because the return man doesn't have his thoughts organized. He's I don't know if he loses track of where he is on the field or if he loses track of what his mentality should be, but it's not that difficult. I've seen this coached on the field in different leagues, in college, in Canada, in the NFL. You back up to a certain line, and then if that ball's over your head, you sprint forward and get away from it and let it fall into the end zone. But you definitely don't let it land at the 13-yard line and almost hit you and then bounce slowly where the other team can down it inside the five, and then in, and then it barely gets into. I mean, they lucked out so incredibly right there.
And all I can tell you is that Sky Moore, the decision that you're worried about making, like, oh, I didn't field this punt at the 7 yard line, it bounced perfectly, and you got coffin cornered, and now you got the ball at the one. That's fine. That's fine. If you play the poker hand right, and you get beat on the river, you still played it correctly, even though right. you didn't make the rake. You've right. got you just.
And for those who have no idea what he means, it's like there's certain rules that you play by when you're playing. Let's say even 21 blackjack. You don't sit there and hit on 18. You maintain rules. Now you do hit maybe on 14 if the dealer's not showing a certain hand. You know, so there are certain rules, and if you play by the rules,
and then you get beat,
you're gonna play the odds, and you're taking right. the long range view. That's right. how it's done. There's a right and wrong way to do almost anything, and that includes catching punts. So I mean, it's just like organize your thoughts and get it together. I mean, this guy is a veteran. I mean, that was horrible. If that had been, they lucked out there. If that had been a better opponent, if that ball had hit him in the leg, it's a turnover inside the 15. If you have a muffed punt inside the 15, I'd love to see what the percentages say about your odds of winning those games. I bet you your odds drop precipitously if you muff a punt inside your own 15-yard line. It's one of the biggest, most negative plays you can think of.
Yeah, I wonder what the odds were on Shanahan getting away with the late turnover there from Mac Jones. Like, okay, you're gonna hunt one more big play before the end of the half, but that's when the fumble happened. What are the odds that the Giants come away with no points from right there? Graham Gano pushes one to the left, and the 49ers, you know, enjoy the halftime lead that they enjoyed at that time. But that game almost got a little closer right there. Again, that really wasn't on Kyle Shanahan, because I was saying, okay, you hunt one big play here on first down, and then you sort of scrap the series if you don't get it. And unfortunately, Colt McKivitz got beaten like a drum, and that was the turnover. Luckily, that wasn't points going in the other way.
Brian Burns is just an amazing player, and McKivitz in back-to-back weeks has just been – you know, and I got to go watch the All-22. How much did they chip Brian Burns? How much help did they give McKivitz against Burns? But yeah, you're right. I mean, that fumble recovery by Abdul Carter at the Niners' 27-yard line, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, they're going to turn this into points. It's going to be 17-14. At the worst, it's going to be 17-10. But man, credit the Niners. They stuffed Tracy on first down, dart through to Tracy on second and 10, he dropped it. And that also was caused by the Niners, Damon, because they had been hard hitting and Tracy didn't want to get smoked, and then dart through to Theo Johnson and Tatum Bethune, who had a phenomenal day. He had 16 tackles. He absolutely was right there contesting that third and 10 pass to Theo Johnson. So incomplete. So after the Niners had that turnover, they did not give even 1 yard. So Gano comes on for, you know, what he thought was going to be a 30-yard field goal, and instead it's a 45-yard field goal, and he pushed it. And so it's 17-7 49ers. That was a huge momentum swing right there.
How about back-to-back false starts? And Jackson Dart after the game was talking about, like, yeah, I've never played a home game and had outside fans, away fans, represent and make noise like Niners fans did today. Like, he almost couldn't even look the reporter in the eye as he was answering that question. You could tell he felt a little shame that Niners fans so thoroughly dominated that crowd. I had a few friends who were at that game and sent me pictures, and it was very, very red inside of MetLife Stadium. Niners fans have done an unbelievable job traveling this year. They really have. By the way, Tatum Bethune, I mean, I'm not going to say something stupid like he might be as good as Fred Warner, because he's not certainly in pass protection, but in terms of being a tackling machine, dude, Tatum Bethune. Do you like the movie Arthur, Larry? When you get lost between Bethune and New York. Yes, great movie. When you get lost.
God, what a bizarre movie that was.
In New York.
This alcoholic, tiny little guy who, you know, walks around New York City with a champagne bottle. It was kind of a weird movie.
The right woman could get you to stop drinking, Arthur. She'd have to be a really big woman. Anyway.
Well, not in that movie, but wasn't Dudley Moore in 10 with Bo Derek?
He was. Dudley Moore was the cute little British guy that, you know, did pretty well for himself there in the late 70s, early 80s. He really played the piano, Larry. That was his charm. He really played the piano like that. He was like a concert level.
You're frozen on me.
Yeah. Oh, no.
See, I'm moving my head back and forth.
I'm frozen.
You're frozen on my side, and you're holding your chin down, and you've been frozen for about 30 seconds.
Oh, no. Well, maybe I'm sorry about that. Can you still hear me?
But it's actually metallic, and I'm only getting every third word. What I would do is just pop out, pop back, pop right back in. That sometimes does
it. Hold on, though. You're fine on our end, DB. I think it might be your end, Larry.
Could be my end. I don't know.
Yeah, he's not frozen.
Dixie says he's not frozen, but I can't hear him, or he's completely frozen on my end.
Here, let me get out.
I'm not. I'm like, I'm over here. I'm moving my finger back and forth. I'm not lagging. Unless I am lagging to you guys. So let me see. Maybe if. Okay. Now you're a little blurry.
How about that?
Better? But you're back. You're a little blurry, but you're back.
He's back. Okay. One more note on special teams before we move on to the complaint department, and then we'll get some supers in here.
Yep.
19 consecutive Eddie Pinheiro field goals. That is tied. 18. 19. 19 consecutive field goals made. Fourth most consecutive field goals in franchise history behind the run that Phil Dawson had. He's still like halfway to the record. It's like 33 from Robbie Gould or something like that. When Robbie went that entire year without missing a field goal. Can I also say this? Because we've been critical, rightfully so, but we criticize when we're not impressed. Let's come back with some compliments when we are. Welcome back to the game plan, Juwan Jennings. I thought Juwan Jennings played many of his best games of the year. That was a 4-catch, 41-yard, and a touchdown for Juwan Jennings, and I'm not sure if his ribs feel better or if his dauber is up after Kyle gave him a verbal endorsement this week in front of the press. But good to see Juwan Jennings involved once again. He needs to be, for sure. So, you know, it was fun to crap on Juwan Jennings when he was giving us that opportunity, and he left himself exposed for a lot of reasons. The Niners will be better when Juwan Jennings is better. So I'm glad he played well yesterday.
You know, it's amazing. I mean, he's just hurt. He's so super banged up and he's super hurt, but he's out there doing his thing. So credit Juwan. I mean, he's got a bunch of injuries. And it's just as simple as that. I mean, it's like he's out there. He's got ribs. He's got a hip. He's got a shoulder. He's got an ankle. I mean, you can tell, but he loves to play. He loves game day. And, his dive to the pylon was great. He's a solid receiver. He is. It's a weird situation because he's very valuable, but then he's also
at a $20 million a year guy. He's just not.
He's at a point in his career where I don't think there's reason to believe he's getting better or anything. So they're in a weird spot this offseason because he wants to get paid. They love him. They want to keep him, but they're not going to pay him big money. So there's a lot of people that still are speculating that he could be traded before Tuesday, but
I don't think
Shanahan said he didn't think that would happen, but you never know. I don't know. Let's just say this. There's obviously teams around the NFL that want him, and there's obviously some smoke around his availability. I don't think the Niners want to move him. If they had lost yesterday, maybe they would have moved him today, but I think they would only move him we're kind of giving up for the year.
If Jordan Watkins had himself an 8-catch game yesterday, if Kendrick Bourne had a 12-catch, 130-yard game yesterday, maybe. I don't think that they can cut from an already not good enough wide receiver core and say that they're going to get better, because you can't trust Pearsall's return or Ayuk's return in any way. Jacob Cowing is just not happening. Jordan Watkins is not happening. Everyone's.
I don't know if we can say Jordan Watkins is not happening. They threw him a pass. He caught it. I mean,
right, okay.
How about this? Let's throw him another pass.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes.
I mean, you threw him one pass. He caught it. I don't. So now what? If you catch the one pass that's thrown to you, you're disappointing. I mean, Sky Moore was thrown one pass. He caught it. DeMarcus Robinson was thrown one pass. He didn't catch it. Kendrick Bourne was thrown two passes. You know, it's hard to evaluate these guys when you're not giving them the ball. But I mean, I hear you threw JJ five passes. He caught four for 41 yards. He was impressive, but he's just, they're different, right? They're all different receivers, the nice thing about this, I mean, a good receiving core, you don't need five guys that are the same. You need five guys that are not the same. You need five guys that are different. And that's what they got. That's what they have. They got Jennings, who's slow. They got Watkins, who's fast. They got DeMarcus Robinson, who's great against man coverage, all those little rub routes, even though they haven't utilized him.
He doesn't do nothing.
You got Bourne, who can be a pretty good intermediate player. You got Ricky Pearsall, who's pretty good on those intermediate and shallow crosses and can run the wheel and a couple other routes really, really well. So I think you've got to, with Watkins there providing the speed and JJ there kind of moving the chains, you do have a nice, it's not the worst receiving core of all time by any stretch. I mean, you look across the field, you're looking at Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, Gunnar Olszewski and Ray McLeod. You're literally Rice and Taylor compared to what they had.
There's no doubt you're better than the New York Giants, which again is hardly a measuring stick for, should we fear you in this league right now? Two notes from the complaint department. Kyle's clock management, again, waiting to call that timeout in between plays late in the game. Waited way too long to call a timeout. He does drive me nuts in that regard sometimes. I want to talk about Kyle Tkachuk. What is going on with Kyle Juszczyk? This is how does Kyle Shanahan not know how to use the Pro Bowl fullback that he insists on carrying on this roster? Stop handing him the ball. Stop getting cute with Kyle Juszczyk. Throw him the ball on a wheel route or get him the fuck off the field. The dude's not helping, Larry. Kyle Juszczyk is...
I got no problem with him. His wildcat direct snap.
Oh, short yardage play. Tkachuk.
He pushed Mac Jones on the quarterback sneak.
Too cute.
He's fine.
Cute. I mean, when you're running all over.
I mean, why throw it to him? I mean, yes, you're on a team that has McCaffrey and all these receivers and George Kittle. You're advocating throwing the ball.
Yeah, he's got Juszczyk.
I don't want to throw him the ball at all.
You can leak. Look at it this way: he's a lot better at catching the ball than he is at running with it.
I'd rather just use him as a blocker or use him as a use him the way they use him, wildcat quarterback. I got no problem with the way they used him in this game.
I did not like that.
At one point, he pushed Mac Jones for the first down, and the other one, they direct snapped it to him. They don't move anybody in the run game. They don't have a short yardage back that they trust. They don't have a short yardage play that they trust.
Having a direct snap to
Kyle Juszczyk is probably the best thing that he can do.
He doesn't carry very well throughout his career. He's never been a short yardage ball carrier in any way. And
catch, Larry. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks. I only go to every single freaking practice, sacred institution, intuition or whatever. He can catch, really? Oh, that's good to know.
Little NFL news before we get to today's supers. The Eagles flipped their third rounder to the Dolphins for outside linebacker Jalen Phillips. They also, again, landed cornerbacks Michael Carter II and Jair Alexander last week. And so, look, it was a bye week for the Eagles. And they had a really good week of football. The Eagles, they sat home, they rested, they got better, and they watched the Packers and the Lions lose at home. So the Eagles had a great bye week. What else? How about this? Jaden Daniels. Dude, you want to talk about why is he in the game? And you could say, well, we got a young quarterback that we're developing, blah, 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 blah. Jaden Daniels in garbage time got his elbow dislocated last night, and that was awful. Luke McCaffrey also broke his collarbone. So the Commanders are basically
exited. The Commanders are done.
Yeah, they're not exited stage left. They're done. I mean,
the NFC has, and I did this exercise last night, Philly, Green Bay, Detroit, the Bears, Buccaneers, the Panthers, the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Niners. Those nine teams are your teams that are battling for playoffs in the NFC, those nine teams, and seven of them are going to make it.
Right. Candidate to crash the party that you did not name would maybe be Minnesota, but that's a soft maybe.
Yeah. I mean, if you believe in JJ McCarthy, God bless you. I personally don't. I don't of that group. you say, well, who's going to be on the outside looking in? Probably Bears and Panthers. Everybody else is probably going to make the playoffs out of that group. Now, we'll see. Maybe not. But all of those teams have either 5 wins or 6 wins. So if you go through that group of teams, I mean, first of all, the Niners have already beaten the Rams in L.A. They've beaten the Seahawks in Seattle. Granted, the Seahawks are playing better right now. And I just think that when you look at this, it's like every one of these teams has a flaw. I mean, I watched, you know, a lot of the red zone in the afternoon. And I taped it in the morning. I mean, Chicago was life and death to beat Cincinnati and Joe Flacco. Detroit lost at home to J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. The Packers lost at home to the Carolina Panthers. So, I mean, it is wide freaking open.
There isn't a great team in the NFL, Larry. Not one. There isn't a great AFC team.
I mean, I thought Atlanta was coming on. No. You know, I mean, there's just not, there's not that team that you look at. The Rams, to me, look like the best team in some ways. The Rams, you know, now granted, they play the Saints. But, I mean, Stafford had 4 touchdowns.
When Stafford looks like that, healthy. He looks like an MVP.
Kyron's running the ball. The Rams had 438 total yards of offense. They only gave up 224. Their last three opponents have combined for 20 points. So they dominated the time of possession in that game, 75 plays to 51. So the Rams are an intriguing team for sure. But I mean, that's it. I mean, like, you're looking at the trade deadline for the Niners and sitting there going, well, you know, they've lost Warner and they've lost Bosa. Yeah, but you know what? We could do this roulette. We could play this like injury roulette where you could name any team in football and I could literally go to their Our Lads draft or Our Lads depth chart. And I bet you I could find 2 or 3 really good football players that are out for the year on their team, no matter what team you're even going to say. So it's like, it's football. It's just the way it is. You're going to lose 2 or 3 players to season-ending injuries. But the point is this.
Just for the Niners, that's
Seattle, every week. The Rams, the Niners, the Bucks, the Packers, the Lions, the Eagles. There's a lot of good teams there, but there's nobody that you're like, can't beat them. I mean, this Eagles team literally lost to the same Giant team that you just trounced. And Washington, a lot of people thought was going to be a playoff team. They're 3-6 with an injured quarterback. They're not going to the playoffs. And Detroit just lost, and Green Bay just lost. And the Bears are hardly world beaters. And, you know, Tampa's got crushing injuries, and Carolina's probably not even worth discussing. And, you know, then you've got Seattle and the Rams and the Niners in the NFC West. And in a lot of ways, I think those are 3 of the more intriguing teams. They're all a little flawed. Obviously, the Niners with the injuries, and the Seahawks have their own issues with their offensive line. Anthony Bradford's a circus. But, I mean, I think, you know, it's wide open. The point is, John Lynch should – the Niners at 6-3 have done enough. You know, that was Lynch's thing. Well, you know what? We got to win games. We got to earn the right to make a trade. Well, I don't know. What do you guys think? I would say that the 49ers at 6-3 have earned the right for John Lynch to make a trade.
Do you think prognosis one
in the conference? Let me ask you.
Nobody
better.
Do you think the prognosis on Mykel Williams' injury affects what they might get done before this deadline ends?
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that, because I do think they're going to go for a defensive lineman. I don't know if it'll be a end or a tackle or some combination thereof. It may be that they need volume. They may need more than one guy. Clee Farrell helped him a little bit yesterday. Keon White did a little bit less, but he was in there as well. But if they're going to, you know, they got a shot, but the Niners have a lot of good young defensive backs, and they really need to add a defensive lineman or two, whether they're going to win or not, just to develop their defensive backs. Because if you want a young defensive back to develop, he's got to, you know, have confidence. And then if there's no pass rush, then those guys are going to lose their confidence. So I think it's really important that they add a defensive lineman. Yeah, I think that after losing Mykel, you're probably in the mix for you know, a defensive lineman that much more. But I mean, they've earned the right to do it.
Cam Jordan.
I don't think the Niners want to go old. I think if anything, they're going to go young.
Here's the thing. They got to go price point. That's what they got to do. They can't be dealing from the first three rounds of their upcoming draft because they need players. So I think they got to be looking price point more than anything.
We'll see. I don't. There's no way they're moving their first round pick.
Keon White, by the way, they didn't go get Keon White because he's this like all ready to be some great. The price point was right.
Yeah, but I mean, I do think that there's a player out there or two that they would move a day two pick for. I mean, you know, if you believe that the Diana Rossinis and the reporters in this league, the Ian Rappaports that keep reporting that the Niners are hot on the trail of Trey Hendrickson, you know, they're not armed with fourth round picks. So I do think that they've crossed the bridge of, hey, we'll move a day two pick. But I think, like, I'll give you an example. There was a rumor this weekend that the Niners have interest in Trey Hendrickson, but they also like a couple other Bengal players. One was a corner, one's a linebacker. Logan Wilson's the linebacker, and Cam Taylor-Britt's the corner. Well, Logan Wilson and Cam Taylor-Britt are young players that the Niners obviously liked in the draft process, but both of them have fallen out of favor in Cincinnati and then fallen out of their starting lineup. So I don't think you're going to have to necessarily trade a lot to get those guys. And if you group them with Hendrickson, you probably would have to trade something significant. The word this morning, and I didn't study the rumor, but I just saw it come across my phone, was that the talk is that the Bengals are asking and demanding a number one in return for Hendrickson, hoping that somebody will bite. Well, I don't know about of course they are, because he's a free agent and the season is already in week, you know, we're in week 10. So you're going to trade a first round draft choice for 5 weeks or 6 weeks of Trey Hendrickson. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to do that.
I don't think you're picking up Trey Hendrickson as a rental. This is a player that you trade for, and then you hope to get the rest of his career playing for you. So that's,
but he's also 30 and right. He's not signed. And so, and I don't know if they're going to, I don't know if anybody who acquires him is going to have the ability to sign him.
Well, did you see the money Aiden Hutchinson, and I mean, he just signed for huge money in Detroit.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that the problem is not, can the Niners get Trey Hendrickson? They can if they want to part with the draft capital. The question is, can the 49ers, as they've set up their roster and their cap with Purdy making what he's making, can they afford $70 million in a hard cap sport on two edge rushers? And the answer is probably no. So I would say that the Hendrickson probably doesn't make sense. But I think the 49ers definitely are going to get some defensive lineman or two. The ones that make the most sense to me would be like, just looking at it, would be like Arden Key and Tavondre Sweat. If I could get that combo out of Tennessee, I would try to do it. You know, if I could get a defensive end and a defensive tackle, I would try to do that. I mean, they need as much as they can possibly get. Robert Saleh was asked about it the other day. He's like, hey, man, I'll take what I can get. Because, yeah, absolutely you will. Because he needs help on all three levels of his defense if you can get it.
Except linebackers, because Tatum Bethune's got it on lock, brother. This guy's fantastic. He really is. I'm excited to watch him play. I'm really enjoying him. And D. Winters continues to get better. If we can just get Nick Martin on the football field, hey. Let's hit these supers, Larry. What do we got? Tell them about the brothers Habas.
Yes, of course. The Krug Show is brought to you by Habas Law, and Habas Law did a great thing this weekend. They had a sponsorship of the San Jose State game, and they had a bunch of people out at San Jose State. Very, very cool. So that was cool. Let me put up where is it? There it is right there. Yeah, of course.
By the way, Sparty picked up a little win over Hawaii, 45-38. Go Sparty.
That was the Habas Law game. And of course, Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Omar and Tarek Habas, they're great attorneys. They're PI attorneys. When you're in a tough spot and you need a good attorney, call Habas Law. I mean, you're absolutely going to love these guys. They're fierce. They're intense. They're rooted right here in Northern California. They will fight to make it right. Their website is habaslaw.com. Oftentimes you need someone in your corner, and when you do, call the law firm, the insurance companies hope you never call. Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. Thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. Let's hit some supers here. We've got this one. Oops. Hey, there it is. Oh, here we go. Hit the wrong button. There we go. All right. Here we go. We got this one from JJ Raider. He says, lousy, Larry. Kevin, put it on a shirt. There you go. Thank you, JJ. Mark Gravy Graves in the house. LK, need to have a Survivor League on 49er players.
Oh, man.
God, that is so bad. That is so bad, but probably true.
I mean, I'm guessing, you know, taking the long snappers off the board, right? He's not in jeopardy enough to even make the betting pool.
Yeah. God, that would be bad. Who goes down next? Propa says, how much do you think this team's ceiling would change if they traded for Hendrickson and Logan Wilson? And what kind of assets do you think it would take? I think it's going to take a second round pick in 26 and probably another second round pick in 27. I don't think anybody's going to give the first, but I think teams will give the two twos. And I think the 49ers would as well. So that's what I think it would take. As far as their ceiling, I mean, right now, you don't have a way to move the quarterback off the spot. So your young DBs are just getting toasted. So I think it would help quite a bit to have, a guy like Hendrickson. He's got 35 sacks. I mean, the last 2 years, you could argue that Trey Hendrickson has done more in the last 2 years than Nick Bosa himself.
So there's no argument to make. You'd be right if you said it, and you'd be wrong if you said Bosa.
Yeah, I mean, there's other aspects besides sacks, but yeah, in a sack sense, yes. Jake Puopolo, my takeaway being there's five rows back at the 50. Giants are terribly coached. Defense was flying to the ball for once. Kyle was getting way too cute with the play calls. Nick Martin in person is a specimen. Yeah, he's an absolute specimen. As far as what you're saying there, as far as the defense was flying around, what a weird day. The first series, the defense was atrocious.
Terrible.
I looked at that first series and I thought, what is going on here? That first series was just so poor. I mean, Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary were running for 5 yards a carry. The tackling was horrible. One positive player on that first drive was Jordan Elliott, who has stuffed a run play on one play. Other than that, the Niners defense lost contain on Dart on 3rd and 5 and let him run for an easy first down. Jordan Elliott had an offsides penalty. And then Dart threw the ball to Theo Johnson in the flat against Demo Lenore. And he missed the tackle 5 times on him. And the guy scored from 15 yards out because nobody decided to wrap him up. And by the way, D. Winters, you might want to wrap up. You know, I mean, it's like D. Winters hits people, but he doesn't wrap anybody. I've never seen a guy fall off more tackles than D. Winters. It's like, bro, wrap somebody up. Use those arms. You can't just hit everybody with a shoulder and think they're going down, especially when you're 220 pounds. Joseph Ernberg says Kyle's response will be, it's hard to get him off.
When you talk about Christian McCaffrey, yeah, that's why you're not sending him out there for that final series even, I would imagine.
Here's what I would say to that. You think it's hard to get him off the field, Kyle. Imagine how hard it's going to be to get him on the field after he's hurt. I would say it's harder to get him back on the field after he's hurt than it is to get him off when he's healthy.
Well, look at it this way. I know that you have to take a flight to Germany to get to one of those. So, you know.
PWS, we got a dub and no positivity. No positivity whatsoever, LOL.
No, this was a positive show. We talked positivity, but we're positive that you're playing with fire by overusing Christian McCaffrey. And we're as sure of that as we are talking to you on YouTube right now. That's the one thing Larry and I seem to know more about than the 49ers know.
You beat a totally thoroughly mediocre New York Giants team that has the worst defense in football. Let's not dislocate our shoulder, patting ourselves on the back for a game that you should have won for fun. We had that down as an absolute win in July and August. So I don't know why we would be like super, like awesomely impressed that they beat the New York Giants. I mean, come on, that's a circus. That team's going to have guys that are fired. That defensive coordinator's getting fired. The general manager's probably getting fired.
The coach is getting fired, I think.
Yeah, well, definitely the coach. MSQ, thoughts on Jalen Phillips' trade to Philly? Yeah, Philly got Jalen Phillips today for a third-round pick, I think. I mean, the rich get richer. Look, Philly really wants it. Howie Roseman's going for it.
Philadelphia didn't even play this past weekend, and they might have had the best weekend in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, they're going for it. They're going for it. And, you know, Phillips is going to help them. He's a ridiculous edge rusher. He's got great talent. His durability is always in question. Dr. Rockman. What does that say?
MJ Project. This is projection for 15 games.
Oh, is it my projection? 15 games with CMC, Sala, 18 for 18, Pinero. 15. Hey,
thank you very much for thinking
yards,
about all these numbers. Are totally
touchdowns. This is 20 to 8. Touchdown to turnovers of 2018 rating QBR. 15 games without CMC, Sorensen, yards. So he's basically saying that it's the same. So he's basically trying to say, oh, you know, my projected 15 games with CMC, Sala, and Pinero is the same as with CMC, Sorensen, and Moody. Well, all I would say, Dr. Rockman, liars use stats and stats lie. And I can make stats say anything I want them to say.
Let's also say this. Kyle Shanahan has the same football team every year. They do the same thing every year. They get the same offense every year. They get the same level of production, kind of no matter who's out there, which is a testament to how good he is as a coach. The question is, can they stay healthy enough to have their best players possible going against the other team's best players possible in the Super Bowl? When they're healthy, they go big places. When they're hurt, you get still pretty decent production. They just don't go big places.
Dr. Rockman with another one. Also, please kill the conversations about the contract. I watch Philly sign a great player every week, and Hurts has the same contract as Purdy. Every Philly player is better. I don't know about that, but I hear you. Cabo Jeff, the Super Bowl is a pipe dream. Okay, I don't think so. I think it's, you know, it's at home, and you've got an easy schedule, and it looks like you're not going to be the lowest seed. You may have a home game.
Yeah, there's
it's not even
time to worry about that. It's not, you're just stacking regular season W. You cannot win the Super Bowl in November. Stupid to talk about.
Who's the team that you're like, can't beat them?
Yeah.
Who?
There isn't. I'll tell you, there's only one team that I know the 49ers would absolutely lose to every time in the Super Bowl, because they'll just see the uniform and they'll piss down their own legs. And here's the really good news. Kansas City Chiefs are not going to the Super Bowl this year. Like, the magic is starting to run out in Kansas City. You can just see it. You can feel it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nothing goes on forever.
Yeah.
What do you like, Buffalo now? I mean, Buffalo's beaten Kansas City like 5 straight times in the regular season, but Kansas City's beaten Buffalo 4 straight times in the playoffs. So, all I would say to Buffalo fans is, save your excitement.
How about this?
Beat Mahomes in December and we'll talk.
I saw this
or January.
Josh Dubow yesterday. Okay. So yesterday's game was the first time in Mahomes' career he finished under 50% of his passes completed. Also, you want to talk about, you know, luck starting to change and the pendulum starting to swing back to normal? The Kansas City Chiefs entered this season with the longest winning streak in one score games in NFL history. And in this season, they're 0-4 in one score games. So
they want, I mean, you're right. I mean, last year they won all these close games. And then they looked awesome. And then they got exposed in the Super Bowl. This year, they're losing a lot of those close games, and it doesn't last forever in the NFL. You don't get forever. Eventually the best teams pick last in the draft. The worst teams pick first, and it's all slated to kind of have this turnover. So nobody stands on top forever.
I saw somebody in the chat earlier say the Niners are the worst 6-3 team in football. Maybe, you know, I'm not even going to argue with you. They might be, but this team that we're looking at right now is not the team that we're going to be looking at in week 16. Like, there's a concept and a chance that the Niners could actually be in better shape then than they are now. Now, their plane also probably, you know, will fall out of the sky at some point and everybody's hurt. I mean, it's nuts the way that this team gets injuries. But there is still a reality out there where we haven't even seen the 49ers yet. We haven't. They're 6-3 and we haven't even seen them yet. It's pretty good.
I mean, Jacksonville is, 5-3? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I can see their argument. Smack Jones says, fellas, why are we letting the Eagles get better? When are we going to get better? We are 6-3. What moves can we make a week year need to be aggressive?
I think they already made their moves, Larry. I don't think they're going to do anything. I think it's I think you got Keon White, you got Cleveland Farrell. The trade for Brian Robinson Jr. already happened. I'll be surprised if they add one more player before the deadline. I hope they do.
I won't. I mean, they've been involved in so many conversations. I think they'll definitely get somebody. I mean, you got to remember this. I mean, if all they needed was one thing and that one player wasn't available, it would be one thing. But it's not. They could use another running back. I mean, they obviously don't have a finishing running back. You definitely could use an offensive lineman. You definitely could use a defensive tackle. You definitely could use a defensive end. You definitely could use a defensive back, a corner. So I think there's enough. I'll say that they absolutely make a deal, but it's and I'll say it's with the Jets. My guess is 49ers trade a fourth round pick to the Jets for Jermaine Johnson and Michael Clemens. I think they're going to try to get those two non-Will McDonald rushers from the Jets. And I think the Jets will be willing to deal. We'll see. Everybody asked for a lot until the last hour or so. We got this one from Fuji Simeon. Fuji, good to see you. He says, do you have a new projected 49er season win-loss record? I said 11-6 at the beginning of the year, or 11-6. Then I went to 10-7. And I'll say at the beginning of the year, right before the season, I said 10-7. I'll stay with 10-7.
How about this? 10-7's about right. If they're going to get to 11 wins, you know, not letting down in New York, I think is how you get there. I think 10-11 wins is absolutely where they're going. And, you know, when you look at their remaining schedule, the two scariest games I think that are left, because I'm just going to put Seattle off until the end of the year. You know, I worry about the Seahawks into the final year. The Seahawks game will either mean everything or nothing in week 18. So I don't even want to think about it right now. The Rams game this weekend is the biggest game left in the regular season. And then that Colts game, even though that's an AFC game, it's going to feel like a barometer. At least it's setting up to be one right now. Watch the Colts have a 4-game losing streak, Larry. They're going to have, it's going to happen. The Colts aren't going to be nearly the Colts, I think, by the time you get to them.
Daniel Jones showed yesterday he was Daniel Jones. That's the Daniel Jones that we know.
There he is. There's the guy we know.
Three picks, two fumbles. Fuji Simeon on the bright side, A&M and Indiana are still perfect. Yes. And I'm telling you, A&M is really good. I bet Indiana this week. I mean, they're a juggernaut and they just won't stop. I mean, they're a great team to bet because they just keep going.
You're looking at 100 years of frustration come out over the course of two football seasons. Indiana's trying to put 60 on everybody. So,
but I will say this, A&M is spectacular. I don't know really how much you've watched A&M. Marcel Reed is big time. Le'Veon Moss is going to be a great NFL back. Yeah. And then Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion are absolutely NFL starting wide receivers.
Concepcion is recruited.
Torion York, the linebacker, is a phenomenal linebacker. They just got Will Lee, the corner, is a tremendous player. They got a lot. I mean, they got a lot for sure. A&M's got a lot. I like Indiana. Of the teams that I've seen, you know, Buckeyes are the Buckeyes, and they look like they're the best. But then Indiana, A&M, I think those are probably the two best teams I've seen. There's some other teams that have good, you know, good players. I mean, Bama's got a ton of good players. I love some of Bama's players. Georgia's got an incredible linebacker. Oh, my God. Georgia's linebacker had an amazing game this weekend. Oregon's good. Ole Miss is good. Heck, BYU's good. Texas Tech's good. There's a bunch of good teams. But to me, the best teams are right at the top. Buckeyes, Indiana, A&M, 1, 2, 3. I think those are the three best teams right now in college football.
I can't believe this is the world I live in. I mean,
amazing. I know. I mean, believe me, I'm waiting for the whole bottom to fall out. Bill Kennedy, when do you think Purdy will return? I'll stay with my thought. I think the Niners, I think either the game before the bye week or the game after the bye week. I would say it's either he comes back in week 13 or he comes back in week 15. But I don't think he comes back before then.
The Niners really have been handed a luxury that is an incredibly backup, incredibly productive, successful backup quarterback. Use the luxury when you have it.
Exactly. You know, you got the second car that you don't need, so you don't have to drive your primary car, and you're sitting there going, yeah, let's keep taking that primary car out of the garage. No, drive your secondary car. Ryan Aloy, if Quinnen Williams is available, go get him. I agree. He helps now and for the future. Williams, Bosa, Huff, book it. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I would have no problem at all if the 49ers, who tried to get the defensive tackle in Buckner, then traded him, then tried to get the Buckner replacement in Hargrave, it didn't work out. If they could get Tavondre Sweat out of Tennessee or Quinnen Williams, I think I would do that, even though my needs at defensive end. You need a great defensive line, and you need to start building it. And you can, and you tried to go for three guys in the draft that you like all three of them, but now Mikel's out. CJ West was inactive. Alfred Collins has been active, but just kind of not producing a crazy amount. So, I mean, yeah, if you can go find a, you know, especially Tavondre Sweat, because he's younger, cheaper. A couple last ones here. We got Stefan who says Jackson Dart disappointed in Giants fans post game.
He was.
Well, he's just basically saying, hey, man, I've never been at a pro football game where there's this many road fans. I mean, we really probably should talk about it at some point with we have more time. But the 49ers have become the it team, more so than the Chiefs, more so than the Patriots, more so than the Rams, more so than the Cowboys. The Niners have become the it team. Their fans take over L.A., Dallas, everywhere, New Orleans. The people in New Orleans, I was in the Superdome for that game. The people of New Orleans that I talked to were like, I've never seen the Superdome taken over by road fans the way that the Niner fans took over the Super Bowl, you know, in New Orleans. So this is a recurring theme. John Chapman, who's a great guy, has a whole, his whole channel, the 49er Rush podcast. He's got a whole, you know, business where he basically travels wherever the Niners travel and throw parties, invite Frank Gore and other players and ex-players. And he's found a way to really profit off it and do well with it. I will say this, just from going to New Orleans, I was shocked at the number. Now, granted, it was New Orleans in September, and it's a fun place to be and this and that. And so there were, I thought maybe that was the reason, but there were so many Niner fans in New York. There was a parade of Niner fans walking through Manhattan. It's an amazing thing that's going on right now. And it has to do with Joe. It has to do with Jerry. It has to do with Ronnie. It has to do with Steve. It has to do with Harbaugh. It has to do with Kaepernick. It has to do with Shanahan. It has to do with Lynch and Jimmy G.
And it has an awful lot to do with starvation. You know, when you're hungry, you make more noise sitting at the table than the guy who's well fed.
This also has to do with LA abandoning the NFL abandoning LA for two decades or whatever. That there's all kinds of people, you know, I've seen a lot of this, Damon. I saw this a lot in New Orleans. I'm a Dodger Niner fan.
Oh yeah.
Do you know how many Dodger Niner fans there are right now? There's a ton.
There's probably even more Dodger Raider fans in LA.
Well, but I mean, the Dodgers and the Niners are, you know, it's like if you're in Southern California, you're a Dodger fan. And if you're a Southern California, you're a Charger, Raider, Ram, or Niner fan, usually.
By the way, Larry,
I would say it's probably even across the board. I bet you there's as many Niner fans in Southern California right now as there are Rams fans, as there are Chargers fans, as there are Raider fans.
Look out for the Dodgers, by the way. I think they're going to be a problem.
Oh God! Don't even get me going. I almost vomited watching that game the other night.
All right, let's go. I got to get going here, Larry.
Uchis is off topic. Fundamental base running is important.
There you go. You just said it all right there. Balls in the walls are one thing. Not knowing how to take a lead off a third. Not knowing how to get back to second base. Terrible base running cost the Toronto Blue Jays a championship.
We should tell you 49er football season is presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You're getting blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course, Sleeper picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. One more or two more supers from Fuji. One says, this show helps distract from the pain from my coworkers celebrating the Dodgers. Oh my gosh.
By the way, Yamamoto is a fucking stud. Well, I mean, what he did made what Madison Bumgarner did look kind of normal. And what Bumgarner did was incredible. What Yamamoto did was straight up like superhero movie shit.
What Toronto didn't do as far as base running in that game really is frustrating, I'm sure. The guy on third base didn't get any kind of secondary lead on the play at the plate. I mean, he was out by a whisker. Just terrible base running. Right. Watching the parade while at work, Fuji says. And this last one from we've got a couple more actually. This next one from Fuji. Canada Blue Jay fans are not taking the loss well. Conspiracy theories they are pushing online as are wild and crazy. There's no conspiracy theories. You didn't play well enough. You had a great year. You had your chances. You didn't do it. Dr. Rockman, easy to lie with stats, easier to lie without. I don't know about that actually. Roby Man 538, should Cal fire Wilcox after the season?
Not if it means your freshman quarterback wants to transfer.
Yeah, I mean, Cal, there was a lot of expectation, but that freshman quarterback's raw and needs to be developed. Wilcox, a good coach, he runs a good program. I don't think I would fire him.
Right.
Fuji Simeon says, what was the percentage of 49er fans at MetLife? It looked like about 55 to 60%.
That's at least, what it looks like. At least. So much red in that crowd.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Hit like and subscribe on your way out the door. Thanks to everybody for jumping in. Thanks to our sponsors as well. Thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to Habas Law on this side, as well as Sharp Corners, Sports Cards and Collectibles. And my good friends at Claw Daddy Arcades. Great follow on Instagram at @Claw_Daddy_Arcades. And Damon, thank Ike again as well.
I mean, it's National Sandwich Day. How could I not go get a sandwich at Ike's, take it to the Dubliner, have Kenny pull the best Guinness in all of San Francisco there on West Portal for you, and you'll be a happier person for having done that. Thanks so much for watching again. 6-3, handle your business. Unfortunately, it comes with another injury. Biggest game of the year coming up on Sunday. So be back here. Pay attention to the channels, both of them, all week long. And then certainly join us at 9 a.m. on Friday for what will be a big wake up ahead of the Rams. So thank you, everyone, for watching. Like and subscribe. And there you go. That's it. Terrible loss for the Warriors, by the way. How are you going to lose to the Pacers when the Indiana Pacers aren't even playing for the Pacers that night? Terrible loss.
It's the road. It's the NBA on the road. You don't win on the road. Damon's going live in 11 minutes. Join him on his channel. I will be going live on the radio with Greg Papa and Greg Silver an hour from now at roughly 11:50. So check that out on the radio. I stream later today after Kyle has his press conference at 3:30. Cone and I stream after the press conference. Niners Nightly is coming up tonight. As well on KMBR, I believe at 6:00. So check me out at 6:00 for Niners Nightly on the radio. That's going to do it for us. Time to watch the second half one more time. For Damon, I'm Larry. Damon, I'll give you the final word. What say you?
Well, I want to make everybody happy. Trent Baalke voice, please. Well, you know, when you go ahead and make a request, that is that aggressive. It's been so long since I've done Baalke. I'm a little out of touch here, Larry.
I'm gonna rescue everybody. Let me tell you something about the Plus, okay? They don't just talk sports, okay? These guys go into the Dubliner, and they don't just walk into the Dubliner. They got a fucking Ike sandwich in their back pocket, and they got us in their top envelope pocket. They got an envelope, and it says AJ Jenkins was drafted by that jackass Trent Baalke. That's what they got, baby.